This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and yes, I'm on my period. And yes, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, we all been there. I'm Brandy Posey, and she's a 10. That's it. That's the tweet.
No. I'm Tess Barker, and I love produce because I work better on a deadline.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Oh, I wanted to say, if you're not following us on social media, which you should be, on our individual accounts and Lady to Lady accounts, we're now putting out some videos. We're doing it. We joined the reels of the world.
Yeah, stop being polite and start being reels world. We're here.
So if you want to see what it looks like when we talk to each other, go on
follow
there.
Follow us on socials.
Yeah, follow us on social. We've got some fun clips and stuff that we're doing now. So I just want to throw that out in case you're not already following us on there.
Love that for us. Yeah. Do you guys have a summer jam yet?
No, I guess I don't. I mean, I've just been obsessively listening to Harry Styles, basically.
So oh, so maybe that's your summer jam.
That'll probably continue being. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
No, I don't really have one yet. I'll have to figure that out. I was just tweeting with Kay Hanley, who's the lead singer of Letters to Cleo lately. So I've been re-listening to a lot of their stuff. And they're the band that did the Josie and the Pussycats theme song, and they were in 10 Things I Hate About You, and they're just like the awesome. So I've been trying to be her homie. So
that's good.
I feel like that Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack would be a good summer.
Yeah.
Throwback.
That feels very summery. Yeah.
God, I love that movie.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
I might need to rewatch that soon, actually.
I'd be down to do a commentary for that. That'd be really
fun. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes, I would be so down. That movie's, I love it. My summer jam is a remix of the Fergie song Glamorous. It's this Crumness, C-R-M-N-E-S remix. And I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling it. They're playing it on Kiss FM. We're driving first class.
Yeah, you've got to find your jam on Kiss FM, I think.
It's the place for summer jams. If you don't know Kiss FM, if you don't live in the LA area, it's the home of the Ryan Seacrest show. That's where we get our Ryan Seacrest. So you can kind of extrapolate from there what kind of music
it
plays.
What to expect.
Yeah.
Yes. Does he play a lot of American Idol stuff and just wink, wink, nudge, nudge to it? Or
it's all like top 40. It's just it's just the hits.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That's so funny. Are you telling me American Idol doesn't make hits? Wow.
Wait, do they play? I actually honestly haven't watched American Idol in a really long time. What kind of songs do they sing?
I think it's the same shit where they just they cover
like
songs, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that. Never watched it that much. I just know Kelly Clarkson came from it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's all I got.
Good job.
Hey, I know pop culture
That's
things.
That's your association with Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Clarkson. Ryan Seacrest has done 10 million things.
That's about all I got. I know way more about our guest today, though.
Oh, my God. She's like beyond Ryan Seacrest, beyond Kelly Clarkson. I mean, just the epitome of fun, glamour. Great actress, great writer, great comic.
Yeah, she, you know her from so many things. She was in 24. She's been in It's Always Sunny. She's been in Mr. Show. She actually has a new book out called Fame-ish, My Life at the Edge of Stardom. And she told us some really fun stories from it. So let's hang out with Mary Lynn Rice Cub. Oh my God, so excited to have her back on the show. Mary Lynn Rice Cub, hello. Oh, hello. I just got her as she was
mid-coffee sip.
Hello.
We don't even give you time to sip. You're just in.
Well, because I was like, oh, it's not going to be an intro. And then, you know.
Oh, I wasn't kidding around.
Yeah.
We hit the ground running. We are that on-ramp on the 110 where you immediately have to be at 90 degrees. 90 degrees, 90 miles an hour.
Not yet. You got to get on there.
Yeah. And 90 degrees. It is also 90 degrees. Yeah.
You're just Tokyo drifting. That's what this podcast is. We're on like two wheels. We're on two wheels going full speed ahead.
There is a teen with a Honda Civic on your ass and you better go.
Dude, I drove a Mazda Miata in high school, which was like such a fun car. But can I tell you, that car was so light that I legit would frequently take turns and be on two wheels. Like,
ooh, freak terrifying.
It that makes really me want to get a Mazda Miata. That sounds really fun.
It's basically a Barbie car. I mean, you can put it in your purse, really.
Where did you grow up?
Camarillo.
Oh, so you got to catch some wind in Camarillo.
I feel like if I bought
a fast car now, then you're just like sitting in traffic. Like you can't even really drive.
Yeah, you got to take it out to the boo.
You got and really roll the dice on getting in an accident on the PCH.
If you're not in it to win it.
If you're going to crash anywhere, might as well be the lovely view.
That's the place to do it.
In Maryland in the early aughts, the Volkswagen Cabrio was like the high school girl car of choice. There was our entire field hockey team had Volkswagen Cabrios.
Yes.
That was a whole vibe.
Yeah, I think that the Cabrio was nationwide. We were a very Volkswagen generation.
Let me ask you a question about the Cabrio, where people try to outdo each other with the colors and the interior and their or not really.
I think there was definitely a lot of customization, like a lot of like it was mostly on what hung from the rear view mirror. Like that, I think is really where the everything showed. You know, you have like your dice, but also like your graduation little dongle, whatever that thing's called, and then like, you know, a lanyard,
your graduation truck nuts.
Yes, exactly.
Traditional.
Dude, okay, if there's a high school kid out there that really wants to piss off their family, put truck nuts on your graduation cap and send us a photo. I'd love to see it.
You know, they have truck nuts for Crocs, so you can buy those.
Yes. By the way, we do know they have truck nuts for Crocs. I appreciate everyone that has sent that to us, but we have been sent that at least 50 times.
Really?
It's funny every time, but we have seen them right now. Thank you.
You guys regret, I'm jumping in here as if I'm guessing you, the, obviously people sending you our stuff. Do you regret bringing up the truck nuts so many times that now people will send you truck nuts?
You know what? I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I will say the amount of truly disgusting things we've discussed on this podcast, I don't ever feel like anyone has, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like someone sent me something where I regretted.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a boundary. It's a good circle of respect. It's a good.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I will say, and it is, what can we do? We put it out there, but like people have shared pretty gross stories with me. After hearing our gross stories, and in that moment,
we deserve that.
Yeah, but I might have a tinge of regret. Yeah.
It's good to have a tinge. A tinge is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing about other people's diarrhea. We're professional diarrhea havers. Thank you so much.
Is that true? I've missed all this. By the way, a touch. Instead of no regrets, a touch of regrets is like the new slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, don't you think that's sort of like the mark of a good time is if you just have a touch?
Yeah. Touch of regret.
Yeah.
A touch, a tinge, a dash.
A dongle.
A dongle of regret.
Yeah. Just be yourself. You know what? Just be yourself. Like, there's a lot of people who shouldn't be them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They shouldn't. So it's like, I don't think that's true for everyone. A lot of people need to
yeah, you need to alter yourself. We can use this, but it needs to be taken in here, a button here.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah. Needs to be,
dial back on progress. The you a little bit. Let me see a little less you. Yeah.
Let's tailor it up just a hair.
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean, it includes me. I'm including myself.
Oh, so. Absolutely.
Yes, always. Yeah, absolutely. We're always seeking to improve ourselves in some way.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend the other night. He's I've known him for a really long time, but we go through really long spurts when we don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have like a marathon phone call. What did he say to me? Like, he goes, You're a chameleon, like, and that's good because if you weren't, you would be insufferable. And then we just end the conversation, moved on. And then the next day I was like, what did you mean by that?
Can we circle back on the chameleon, insufferable chameleon talk, please?
Because I can see you as a chameleon. Yeah, that makes sense. You seem like you know, go with the flow and like fit in wherever. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
What is the if you weren't?
Yeah, what's that? Did he clarify?
I mean, it really was a moment because I am, you know, I am not a young person. And it's like when you look at yourself and I'm like, what are your strengths and weaknesses? I'm like, I could venture a guess, but like I legit was like, I don't know if I'm offended, but I'm also like, tell me what I'm like. Tell me what you see.
Right.
What are the parts that are bothering you? I mean, he is very dramatic and that's what makes him fun.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love the way that chameleons run. Do you have like a special... When I think of a chameleon, I think of them just across the street.
Very prancy.
Yeah, maybe that's what he meant. Like, if you weren't doing, like, you're, like, incredibly, like, bombastic, but then you run away like this, and that's what makes you not insufferable.
And just sit on a rock. I'm not here.
Yeah.
You don't see me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm picking up moisture. Man. Don't talk to me.
I'm heat.
I need moisture.
Yeah.
Isn't everyone like pretty amorphous though? I always think that's funny when people are like, oh, you're like this, or like people have a thing. I'm like, isn't everyone just like a blob of gas, always different?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like horoscopes. They're like, all right, these all could mean, these are all pretty
totally,
like,
right?
Yeah.
I think you're
yeah.
able to interpret them with anybody.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, sometimes you're able to interpret them, and I think like the idea of personality as like a non-changing thing is really inaccurate. Like, I think everyone is like so different all the time. Like, we're basically just bodies of water.
Yeah.
You know, like,
those little squishy thing, like those little squishy things full of gel that kind of just like are constantly moving.
Like, there's so many factors. What's the weather? Do I like my outfit? What did I eat this morning? Who am I hanging out with? How are the tunes? How's the lighting? I could be a different person based on all these things.
Spoken like a real Pisces moon.
I mean, the squeezy thing is accurate because you've got the container and you've got the gel and you've got like, those are the, but yeah, you don't know where it's going to go within
just
that.
Kind of stretch arms. Strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's like the first fleshlight, right? That like
stretch. Oh, the jack off thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
yeah,
you
yeah.
guys know that was dick like before you had felt a dick?
I think my caveman id knew that already, right? Like that.
Do you know
weird,
what we're talking about, Marilyn? The remember
the tube?
Yeah, they look like weenies and there was water inside.
Oh, yes.
It's like an infinity tube that would turn in on itself.
That is like a novelty toy. Was that the point of that? Mm-hmm. You just got them. Oh, yeah. I think there was one that had like a noisemaker in it. Ooh, ooh.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Just like a dick, you know.
They were pretty like soothing though. It was.
Yeah. I thought you were saying that like a Stretch Armstrong. I was like,
what? Oh no. No. I mean, I'm sure there is a way to fuck a Stretch Armstrong.
I feel like, you know, we used to have a 3-person shirt, and like if we haven't could put a toy in the market. A 3-person Stretch Armstrong.
That would be
Stretch
dope.
Lady.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Things to have in your office is one of these from the 80s. And then
ball thing.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they were.
Those are the most important business things to have in
Zen,
office.
The Zen garden.
Yes. The tiny Zen garden.
Yeah. Or like pens in a in a, their own case, like super nice pens. You gotta pull out.
Oh, and how about a little bar cart thing with like a couple of tumblers?
Just stylish. That's just real. Why do you ever need like a super different fancy pen to show you're important?
No.
Like I want to meet somebody that actually is like, I have a cross pen that I bought at, I paid $200 for this pen.
I think it's just because it was like only men were the only people who had those jobs at the time and no one ever knew what to get them aside from pens.
Well, because like men can only accessorize with a sneaker or a cufflink or a watch. So a pen was like the fourth like accessory.
Okay, can I be honest with you guys? I have a Mont Blanc and it writes like fucking butter.
No way. Wow. This is what I want to know. Is it a real thing?
It's worth it. It's a real thing. My dad gave it to me as a gift, like I think 8 or 9 years ago, and I don't leave the house with it because I don't want to lose it. But I
was going to say, I would lose it immediately.
Yeah, I use it for like writing stand-up because I like to write stand-up physically, and I use it for like my daily to-do list.
I've totally turned the tables. I'm in love with this now.
Yeah, I actually think it's a really nice gift, and it, like I would say it has improved my quality of life.
No!
Wow. Mont Blanc, offer code lady, please.
Hashtag Mont Blanc. Is it a cartridge that you replace for the ink?
So I get, so I probably have to replace the cartridge like twice a year, but I get them at Romans. I can do it myself.
And is the tip is the tip like a calligraphy where the ink is rolling down over the tip?
I have the ballpoint because I don't know calligraphy well enough to be like comfortable writing with a calligraphy pen, but it's just a ballpoint pen, but it's ballpoint. Like really heavy and substantial feeling when you write, and it makes your handwriting look better because of the ergonomics of the pen. Like you write a lot prettier. I'm sorry.
What ergonomics?
I mean, damn. I'm glad it is because they're fucking expensive. So it's, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to know that they actually are good.
Expensive shit is cool, you guys.
How does it feel to pen flip with? Can you do that or is it too heavy for a pen flip?
Yeah, you guys, start to finish, it's amazing. Like it's heavy. It feels great to pen flip with. Yeah.
Does it have a case? That's the question we all
need. It does, but I don't use it. I keep it in my little daily planner pocket thingy case.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Remember? Does it go in the same place every day?
Yeah, it does.
Do you guys remember the first like learning to do that? The like the pen flip thing as like a child, like in school? I remember I remember like seeing all the popular girls doing it. I was like, I'm gonna learn to fucking do that shit too. You're not the only ones that can fucking flip a goddamn pen, girl. Never mind. And I'd be sitting just quietly practicing in social studies and just nailed it one day and was like, oh yeah.
I wanna try.
It's like finger baton.
Yeah. It's just a fun. This is a great podcast.
I feel like I'm not really doing it.
Yeah, we're all cheating, right? Everyone's flipping pens.
Yeah. It was just very big in 2000. I don't know if the Gen Z kids are still doing it or not, but flipping a pen was a real big deal for a second.
I used to do this. I'm going to have to describe it for the podcast, but I would make a face where my lip was stiff, and then I would put a pencil on my stiff lip so it looked like I have a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the Mont Blanc, though, would be a really good workout for upper lip because it's like a heavy pen, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I need a stiffer upper lip.
That's great. You're very British. That's true.
You want to let it go a little bit. Loosen it up. Loose lips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sink some ships, baby.
Loose lips.
Turned into a dad podcast.
I want to... Wait, Marilyn, tell us about your book that you just... put out.
Fame-ish. I have a book. It's called Famish, My Life at the Edge of Stardom.
Ooh, you got a copy?
Nice. It'd be fucked up if they didn't send her a copy.
I'm super proud of it. It's a sleeper hit. It's a sleeper hit. It's a grower.
Yeah. I mean, you've had like such a cool, interesting career. So you just kind of follow your path of like, you know, yeah, you're the path
so at the beginning of the pandemic, the work that I had lined up was like live shows. And I actually had a friend who turned me on to like Comic-Cons, like for like signing autographs. And all the stuff that I had lined up was live. And then, of course, that got canceled. And I had I tried to write a book like 10 years ago. And it was not looking back on it. I can see because I was like trying and I wrote a proposal and it was really hard to write the proposal. I remember meeting with a guy who was going to like oversee it. But then he was talking to me like a shadow writer Like, it was just off. You know what I mean? Like, I took a meeting and I was like, wait, what? And then my vibe was like, I wasn't ready. Cause then I was like, am I not writing this book? Like, it was a guy in a suit who was like, I'll help you write it. And
yeah,
it was a little bit rushed, and I wasn't of my right mind. And I remember going to try to write at that time, and I would just sit alone, and then they would just be these like long, just like what, like rambling, almost poetic. Like, I just did some weird, it wasn't even journal writing. It was just like, this is not a book that anyone would want to read
right.
ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was going nowhere. That's my long winded way of saying it didn't happen. And this time it was like right time, right place, right approach. Mm-hmm, nice. And it was hard, but it really kind of flowed. And I figured out how to like lock in with the performer me. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the chapters I would do came from like, not a lot, a few came from solo podcasts. So it would be me mm-hmm. telling a story. And then I would take that cringy, you know, the transcript, and then write in that and be able to like flesh out the details. So that was like the magic sauce. And also, I think just the right time in my life where I have, mm-hmm. you know, a lot more life and a lot more stand up and other types of writing under my belt. So that mm-hmm. the perspective and the flow of it, I don't know. I think I used to have in my mind, like, oh, I have to write something. And it just was, you know, and so now, like, you know, my first chapter, it's good because I don't really have to write about this or talk about it again, is something that I'll do on stage if people recognize me. And it's a real mixed bag. I don't take anything for granted, but I do have like a section of material where it's like, people think I'm Jenna Fisher. I was in Legally Blonde 2. I'm not friends with Reese Witherspoon. I'm not good at computers. Like, it's, which is exciting, you know, and I sort of address that in the book. So mm-hmm. the external theme of like famous, my life at the edge of stardom is like, you know, one time someone said to me, you look like someone who might be on Parks and Rec. And it's like, that's not even a person. That's like an idea.
Yeah. But also like, I think a compliment.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take it. But so there's the very literal, here's how I'm recognized. But then the theme of the book is also about, the actuality of something versus, you know, or our expectations of something and then what really happens. So I have a lot of Hollywood anecdotes, again, that are more literal. Like, I got invited to the Golden Globes, you know, the most exciting, so glamorous, the hair, the makeup, I didn't get a plus one. So it's like going to this fancy thing and sitting alone. So like, that's the opposite of, and I didn't even sit with the people from my show. They put the more important players down on the floor, and I was up on the mezzanine sitting at a table alone with the cast of Ugly Betty. That tells you what year this was. The most gorgeous table I've ever seen. So many plates, so many gorgeous. And I'm just like, they didn't show up. Like, they were with each other. And I was like, why am I alone and that with the cast? Like,
oh my God, you were like at the random table at the wedding.
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
And then so the whole anecdote is like, well, drinking will make this better. And, you know, of course it didn't. And then I was like, well, let me drink some more and maybe it'll turn the corner. And then I was just like emotional drunk. And then, I saw, and then the logic is like, I saw Sheryl Crow, who I know. And I was like, I feel so alone. And then she's like, she was really nice about it.
She seems like she would be.
And then I realized I didn't know her. I had just listened to her music, but I just.
Oh my God.
So dumb.
I love the idea of you being super drunk at a table, and that's when the cast of Ugly Betty shows up, and they're just like, there's just drunk Chloe sitting at this table. So funny.
I mean, I can remember getting stopped by like a security guard because I saw my people downstairs, and I'm like, oh, I'm with, oh, no, I don't. Of course. Why would I get to sit by like Kiefer and the executive producer? I mean, now
granted, you work with like every day.
Yeah. Granted, there were a lot of other events where I was like completely included. And, you know, obviously that was that's just a fun one that you don't expect. No. Like you didn't see it coming, of course. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, it feels like I'm like just on the outskirt here. Like, and you were literally that's.
But like, that's, I always kind of say like in a lot of ways that seems like the ideal level of fame, honestly, because like. To me, like, hardcore fame seems like a fate worse than hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that Tom Hanks clip?
Yeah. Ugh. Where they pushed Rita?
Yeah, I felt, dude.
That was fucked up. I felt really... And then everyone's like, Tom Hanks is freaking out. And I was like, no, they just knocked his wife over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
he told the people to back off.
That reaction, it's just like... He can't even have that be an incident where he reacted. Then you got to have the commentary on the commentary.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nightmare.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think there's like a country in the world that Tom Hanks can go to and not be like mobbed. Like it, that seems like so.
I wonder if there's an island he can go to alone. Hey, what's up?
Hello. Oh
yeah, no, it seems very. I it's already hard enough to be a person, but having literally every single thing you do scrutinized to death would
be extremely difficult. I agree with this. But I also feel like I'm to the point in my life where I'm like, I'd be good with that. Like, I feel like I've lived enough life where just put me in a bubble and do everything for me.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I guess you do have that. You're basically you're ready to be the Rapunzel in the tower. Just bring you food.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at Beyonce. Like, she doesn't, you know. She's got a very good bubble built.
She does. It does seem like a dope bubble. It does. But a bubble nonetheless. Like, but it's a bubble on a yacht. It's a bubble on a yacht.
I mean, I thought I really believed that until I said it. Like, some days I really feel like that. But now that I said it out loud, I mean, the reality is I like being real. Okay.
Hey. Yeah.
Can you get real by the bus stop? I like walking in the alley behind Ralph's. That's how we do. Yeah. I like going to the coin operated. I also have a chapter about laundromats, my love for laundromats. So that's.
Ooh.
And then
you wouldn't be able to do that.
On the deeper level in terms of your expectations and what it is, there's also like, an entire chapter about like divorce and the image of marriage and then, you know, kind of reconciling with the idea of something versus what really happened and what what's going on in actuality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that on this show sometimes just because of, you know, being in this industry and, like, how long we've been doing it now. And I think that's what's so cool about your book, too, is it's just like, 10 years ago, you tried. That's what I love about this like, you know, choice for a career too, is that you just never know when something's going to come back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, like now I'm ready for this. You know, you kind of, as you get older and mature and like kind of just like stabilize yourself and feel confident in yourself. And then you're like, oh, okay, well now I can do this. And it's, you know, a whole different world. So I do love that aspect.
What was that for you? Have you talked about it before, Barbara?
I mean, nothing yet.
Yeah, we got another 10 years. Also, if you wrote a book 10 years ago, you might not have been able to talk about being Gale the Snail, the most iconic character in my personal your career.
My personal career.
Me and my friends use Gale the Snail as a code for people constantly.
I'm just honored. Like, I'm so honored.
Like we got some real snails around right now, and it's just
it really is so that girl. You really nailed
you nailed her so well, and it's the beginning of a we got to get the fuck out. We're like, we got a real Gale the Snail in the house. And then once everyone is in consensus about the Gale, then we're out. And it's like, thank you for that shorthand.
I just pictured like a basketball, because my son plays basketball. It's like, we got to get, it's like Gale, like they're calling out what the play is. Yeah. Everybody scrambles and like, you go that way, you go that way.
That's a good play name.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gale.
You gotta pull real Gale. Like, that's like truly what we do. We're just like, we gotta go. It's time to go. Time to go. Too many snails in the house.
There's some snails in this house. Well, thank you. I love Gale the snail. She's a part of me. It's like digging into that part of you that like shouldn't be. It's what we were saying earlier. Don't be yourself. Don't be that. Don't be
right.
That.
That's a very like being themselves person.
That's true. Yeah. That is the best thing about like acting and writing, I think, is like getting to indulge the worst parts of yourself as like characters.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well said.
Absolutely.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Mary Lynn. Am I supposed to be included in that?
No, yeah.
Yeah, that was- no, you nailed it. Okay. Nailed it.
Okay, real quick, did anyone else see the new Top Gun?
I haven't seen it yet.
I think I might see it tonight.
Okay. I really liked it because I fucking love the first one, but I'm not going to spoil. Well, okay.
I've only heard people liking it.
No big spoilers.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
There's a Tom Cruise pre-roll that is the most batshit thing. Like, it just goes to show how completely unchecked Tom Cruise is. Like, there's a totally unnecessary, like, intro to the movie from Tom Cruise, which is just, like, Tom Cruise getting you hyped for the movie you literally are already there to see.
That's crazy. What?
And I also love that if you go to AMC, it's coupled with Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman's intro goes straight from Nicole to Tom.
What do you mean, like, what is the pre-roll? It's him talking to
just
camera?
Him talking to
not
camera.
In character as Top Gun.
No, as Tom Cruise, he's just like, we got real fighter jets. You're about to see some awesome stuff. And then like it works. Like you're like, fuck yeah, dude.
That is so funny. I hope that becomes a thing.
That's so weird that he did.
But like nobody's ever done that. Nobody could say no to Tom Cruise. That was for sure
his
idea.
That's like a DVD extra that they put in front of the movie.
I love that you said he's gone unchecked, true, but also it works, true.
Yeah.
You can't.
That's
no one can stop
it.
All.
Can't argue.
You can't stop it.
Wait, you have a story. I saw you have a story in your book about making out with him.
I do.
Oh shit!
I do.
Oh my God! The mischievous look on your face.
Hello, son.
Oh, your son walked in just as you were about to tell us about sucking face with Tom Cruise. Perfect timing.
I mean, it was for. What was it for?
Magnolia, the movie.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah.
I got some good stories. I legit was in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie more than once. Mm-hmm. But Magnolia, so he cast me as Tom Cruise's assistant in that movie. And Tom Cruise in that movie plays T.J. Mackey. He had the leather vest and the weird little, like, ponytail.
Such a good character.
And he would do seminars to tell men how to manipulate women and how you stay in power and how you get a woman and keep a woman and get laid. Or maybe it was just about getting laid. I don't remember. So
he's so fucking good in that role.
Pickup artist. Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's amazing in that role. So he's saying an example of here's how you do it, guys. If you've upset your woman, you messed up, here's how you get back with her quickly. And then it cuts to him coming to me. And I'm furious with him. And then he's like, I don't know. It's something really dumb. Like he brings me cookies and said that he's had to save a puppy or something. And then I'm like, oh, and then I melt. And then he makes out with me. And that's the scene. So it's completely cut because there's already so many characters in that movie. And then I love that he's just like, I'm going to illustrate this thing and that he's saying in his mind. And there just was like no room for it. But you know, it was like 2 days of me making out with Tom Cruise.
See, that's fucking amazing. That's the dream. Like,
that
what?
Is incredible.
Did you guys interact like beyond that? I have so many questions.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I remember when he arrived on set, there was just, I mean, you can imagine an orbit around him. It's not even like normal. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, there, you definitely are like, people are trying to talk to him, but it's a next level. It's not like, you know how at a party you're like, oh, people are looking somewhere else. Da, da, da. This is like, it's Tom Cruise. It's just a, it's not even like a personal magnetism. Yeah. It's like beyond personal magnetism. Oh, it's Tom Cruise. We're all going to group around and follow him down the street like he's the Pied Piper.
Right.
Like, there's no way that's not happening. It's just, it's just on all levels at all times. And he, you know, is, you know, making time for everybody and nice guy and everyone's trying to be cool because it's a normal set. But when Tom Cruise is there, it's just like you're in the orbit, you get sucked in. So I remember having a little bit of small talk with him, not a lot of like real hang time or anything like that at all. Cause he would be like over by the monitor. But, you know, I definitely remember being in the scene with him and interacting with him like you would anybody else. But I also remember, you know, when they said cut, I would jump up and go, like, because I couldn't. And then when it was action, I took it seriously. I could do it. But yeah, the second it was cut, I was off that couch just like, I could not feel.
Of course.
And, you know, most of the time he was like at the monitor with Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, not, I was just like chilling. But I also remember, the other thing I remember about that is he, because he was in character as T.J. Mackey. Oh, that's the part of the thing. He shows up at the door crying. So T.J. Mackey is like, you got to be like really emotional. This is how you get them because they can't, women can't deal with, they're like, oh, they'll feel bad. So he cried real tears for every take and he did some like real actor shit, which at the time I was like, whoa, dude. Now it's like, I don't even think it would be a big deal. But at the time I remember I would never be like, he would just, everyone would go on his cue.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a long time because he's a professional and he's Tom Cruise, but it would be his timing. So he would walk away, work up into his thing and sort of like, okay, I'm ready or call action or whatever. So he was like, I'm dictating the vibes when I'm ready to like enter the scene. And I was like, that's some boss. Like that's some cool actor stuff. It's like really smart. Wow. And then I also was really impressed that he cried real tears for every take. That's like legit movie star magic right there.
Yeah. No saline or anything. Just.
Yeah.
Wow.
Made out. Wow. Felt up my.
Yeah.
Wow. You made out with an emotionally charged Tom Cruise.
Wow.
On a scale of 1 to 1.5, what was his energy level when making out?
He's very good at pretending to be a person.
I
was gonna say you might have gotten more passion than like some of his like real world relationships.
Hey, you can't, you know, you
good
gotta
point.
You gotta it can't all come out one place sometimes. I don't know.
That's amazing.
You gotta save it for the art.
Did he smell? Did he smell like anything, or were any like other sensory?
He's very good at being a real person and coming down to earth so that you're comfortable, and that's probably is his trademark of just, you know, people,
because it's like a how nice he is and stuff like effect, that, and it's like I have that makes sense.
Yeah.
What's it like? Like, what's it like to do a makeout scene on camera? I've never done it. Like, how do you do a fake kiss, or how does it work?
You like exit your body a little bit, which is ironic because it's the most in your body that you could be, but you just exit and go like
that makes sense. You just kind of have to like disassociate and be like,
you
kind
of just have to kiss though, right? Like there, you can't.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then there's part of the time where you're like going, is that, oh God. Cause you're wondering like what it looks like, you know, same way.
Yeah.
Like if you were talking to someone in a scene and you're like, oh, is the camera just on that one eye, or, so it's kind of like that where you're just like, where's my mouth right now? So that it's like more.
Yeah. What's the blocking for my tongue?
Yeah. And then
there's a reason you close your eyes.
When you get knocked out of it, then you're like, oh, am I looking natural? I got to get back into it. So it's like this little tug of war of how do I naturally do this and look like it? But also I know where the camera is. And like, don't you see that with people on screen all the time? You know that they, especially mm-hmm. people that are like leading, you know that they're like, oh, is it going to be kiss A, B, C, or D? You know what I mean? Yeah. Is it the soft yeah. lead in where it's like a medium shot or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever their 1-2 combo is of the guy, you know, I put my hand right. on the, that's what I do when the camera's there. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Because I mean, you kind of do have to get that technical. Like, you know, like I remember I had to be told to just like put my chin down and tilt my head a little bit in pictures. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Totally.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had this thing when I was on 24 where, because I'd been on the show for a while, but I didn't do like a lot of action stuff. Or if I did, it was like very isolated. And so I had this whole sequence that was, this is crazy. I actually can't believe I'm like, yeah, I did this. I forget that I've done all this shit. The helicopter lands. I think like Jack Bauer, I can't remember. I think maybe, let's just say he's driving. The helicopter door opens. I jump out. I have to run to a fence and everything's mm-hmm. super urgent and I have to run through a hole in the fence. So when the first take, I do it like shit's going down and I got to get to the fence as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like trying to get there to get the thing or whatever. And then he's like, cut. Because yeah. you, I need you to project, like you have to telegraph. I'm out of the thing. I have to show on my face. I'm running. Someone might be over there. Like shit you wouldn't do in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like a physical scene. Like you're quickly writing dialogue that isn't there. And the dialogue is the physicalization of unseen forces. I mean, it wasn't as lame as like, oh, there's a wind. But it's sort of like that where you're like, oh, I'm worried. I'm this, I'm that. And then he goes, when you get to the fence, I need you to do like 3 or 4 things where it's like fence, looking, fence is tall, look down, hole in the fence.
Oh my God.
And like, then we added in like, oh, my arm gets snagged by the fence. But I was like, oh, this is like some action shit, you know? And we do that naturally with, you know, comedy or dialogue will do mm-hmm. things because we're in that headspace. But then when you do like straight up action stuff, it sounds silly, but it's like, oh, I have to like take the time to take the audience with me and like build that tension and show on my face. How am I going to get over this fence? Oh, there's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is hard. I have to take the time, you know, whereas in real life, I'd be like, showing nothing.
Yeah, I just do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I mean, it's also because I'm thinking about like the scoring. You're essentially like kind of dancing to what's ultimately going to be scoring the scene.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally. And like when you film something, it's already slowed down into shots anyway, plus the scoring, plus, oh, mm-hmm. they're going to cut to my face on that one, or oh, they're going to be on the fence for this moment, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and your brain moves so much faster than your eyes actually do. So when you're watching it, you need all those little moments. But totally. If you're doing it, you'd be already through the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Huh. Well, cool. I guess we can all be in action movies now. Thank you for that, Mary Lynn.
New respect for Vin Diesel.
It's pretty fun.
I remember that now when we're watching a movie and we're like, what are you doing? Just run. It's like, no, we need to experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys watching Stranger Things?
No, I didn't watch it.
I have to catch up. I only watched the first two,
of the latest.
But it was great. Yeah.
It's just, they're so good at, I mean, that's their whole thing is that.
Right.
Yeah. They're lexicon of the 80s and, but like, I can't spoil it, but you know, someone gets stuck in the under.
Of course.
They have to. And
that whole tension, I was like, wow, they just draw it out because they know that like, we want to stay in that moment of do they get out or do they not get out? So it's just this long, like there's the hole. They're going to make it into the, back to the real world, back to the, all the visuals. Yeah. It's just like, talk about making a meal out of it. But they know they're like so gifted at like, no, we want to stay in there. We want to stay in the tension.
I think we all have a tendency in conversation to like, or if you're wise, then you wrap things up. Not everyone has this tendency, but but in art, or like I think in comedy or drama, like you almost kind of have to learn to work against that and just like be okay with slowing things down. Mm-hmm. Because it's like such a different kind of language than you use like in day to day.
Yeah, and even in writing scripts, like, you know, you have to get out of the habit of being like, they enter the room, they exit the room. And it's just all right, no one gives a fuck about that. Let's get to like where something's happening. But then also, yeah, extending that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you stay in that moment of tension? They're so gifted because it's not like offensive. You're just like loving it. It's delicious. It's not like you're going, come on.
Right,
like it's cheesy. Yeah. They're just so good at like playing with the elements and like, all right, if we're going to keep you in this tension, we're going to have something really cool to look at or the music or whatever. We're going to have all these other elements that make you trust us that you're in here.
I feel like so much of that is hard too, because it's so much like CGI acting, right? Like people are, right? Like they're acting with tennis balls or something. That seems so, have you had to do that? That seems so difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would really be tough.
There's a really sad behind the scenes moment of Sir Ian McKellen in The Hobbit, where he is Gandalf and he's acting with a bunch of tennis balls as a dragon, and it's him being like, I've done Shakespeare, and he's just like, what have I become? And he's so upset that he has to act with these tennis balls.
Well, you know, back in the day, tennis balls actually played the roles of women in his plays.
Waka, 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 waka. Look at those boobies. My favorite Ian McKellen moment, hands down, is in Cats. There's a moment where he's...
Oh, my God.
He's dressed as a human cat, as all the cats are. And he's drinking from a cat bowl, and then he just real quickly looks directly to camera and goes back to...
And we all had that moment of agreeing, like, yes, none of us know why you're in this godforsaken.
I was going to say, I don't think I realized he was in it because I never watched it.
Oh, it's so
bad. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's worth getting high and watching. It is something else. It is really something else.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that I didn't have that go to the theater moment with friends.
Oh, yeah, we went to like 9 a.m. on a Saturday.
It is something else in that you
should be watching something else.
We're gonna
take a break and come back with Lady Problems, everybody. We'll be back.
Marilyn, can I just say I really love your decor?
Oh my gosh, let's talk about it. Do you know Katie French?
Yeah, she did it.
We had her on the show. Yeah. She did your house? That's awesome.
Yeah. Did she just do your show kind of recently?
A couple months ago.
Oh my gosh, look at this. So cute.
That's so good.
Look at this.
I love it.
Look at this. She's I'm so like talented. An adult now.
Whoa, that's perfect.
It's great.
I love the color.
That plum is really great.
Look at that cutie. Mm-hmm. Those and then even the that back corner with that gold. Oh, that's dope.
Gold chest.
So
yeah.
Good.
Did she make that gold thing, or did you find it?
No, she thrifted that. But this table, she did a fake bone inlay where she painted all of that.
Cool. Wow.
She's pretty next level. Highly
in demand. She's supposed to do my kitchen. We've been talking about doing my kitchen for literally a year, and I just like have it.
That's how long it took. But okay, is like meticulous and so planning. We went back and forth for a long time, and then like, and then it was like go time. But I moved during the pandemic. I did a COVID move. And I've tried in different spurts, but I knew when I moved here that it was going to take me like a full, I just had nothing on the walls. So I'm very excited. Yeah. For the first time in my life, I'm like.
Did she do your whole place?
No, she did this room and she did the dining room.
Awesome.
With this really gorgeous like jungle wallpaper, and then replaced the chandelier.
Nice.
I just love how she gets like the maximalist fun style. Like her vibe is so...
And I was nervous because I did my old house was like, I lived in Encino and I had like a like a mid-century modern bungalow, a small house that used to be the boxy rooms, and they cut out the wall. So it's like you walk in and the living room is the kitchen and the mm-hmm. sliding glass door, like everything. So that place was really neutral, you know?
Right.
So I got a little bit nervous to pull the trigger on this, even though I was super into it. And then I was like, wait, am I just being into it because it's fun? But once I actually have it, I'm going to be like, ugh. And now that I have it, I'm like, so I just walk downstairs and I'm like, yes, like I wake up.
Aww, that's the best feeling.
Great for podcast. Like it's a great like backdrop. You know?
I'm so into it. And I'm like, this is, I think I'm on the right track. Like, I think this is more me than I had a moment where I started going towards like a white marble, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Little table and. White and gray, and I'm so happy with this.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's really cute. I love it.
Yeah, she's crushing it. I hope like she's gonna, I hope she can like just keep going, start her own business and all that shit.
Oh, and the other like cool part of that was, is it's not like I had some, like a task rabbit over, you know what I mean? She was here, so it was like bonus. I was like, and then she brought like Lady Comics to help her. And I was like, this is my dream. Like, it's like design. And then there's like comedy talk break. Like, we're just talking about like for 5 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, well, just watch this. Like, let's talk about it. Like, just, you know, interrupting the process. But like, it was so nice. I'm just like, I feel like I have people over. It's not just like a random worker. Yeah. The whole vibe was like spot on.
Oh, that's awesome. That is I love so that. Fun. Hell yeah.
Okay, we'll come back. And we're going to do lady problems. So if you want to send us one, you can call us at 323-6-BUT-30 or you can email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hey, ladies. I just moved back in with my husband about a month ago after being separated for 3 to 4 months. And, you know, things were really great for a while. I mean, we worked on our shit, and now he's getting back to how he was before I left him. And he doesn't do anything around the house. He just sits there and watches TV with headphones in and ignores us like he did before, which, I mean, honestly bothers me, but it's not the huge issue. But the issue is, like, all he does is quote me when I walk by now. And he doesn't, like, how can I guess my question is how could, I'm dying, how can I be attracted to somebody that just gropes me and doesn't do anything else to make me feel like I'm an equal partner or attractive at all, apart from the boob grabs and, you know, whatever.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he gropes her.
I thought
she said croaks me. I was like, I didn't know what the word was. I couldn't tell what the hell she was saying.
No, so he basically watches TV with his headphones all day and only interacts with her when he gropes her as she walks by. So this man doesn't deserve to be in your house or in your life.
No.
No.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And I think until he's gone, maybe a squirt gun full of hot sauce to the eyes every time he fucking touches you.
That's so what? Fucking gross.
I mean...
Man,
Sean grabs my boobs all the time, I would say. But
you guys
really
have a healthy relationship.
I think it's different.
I don't think it's necessarily terrible to have your partner like grab your tits you're in there.
No, but I think we're talking about something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
She said the only time he interacts with me is when he gropes me as I walk by.
Yeah.
Can we all just take a minute and just be seethingly mad for a second and then answer?
I'm mad.
I'm so just okay. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it sounds like you guys separated and probably did some work. Like, probably the idea was let's separate. We'll both work on each other. It sounds like you were feeling hopeful. Yeah. I think she said us. So I don't know if they have a kid.
Yeah.
I get the feeling there's a kid. Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys recognize the problem. He probably did do the things. Maybe he did go to therapy. And it sounds like he did make some moves. Mm-hmm. So you were like, okay, I want to make this work. And that's why you are where you are.
Yeah.
Well, but the sad part is if they do have a, I mean, if she, if, you know, they got married, they have a family, they have a life. I guess the sad part is like, he's there. He wants to make it work on some level, but doesn't have mm-hmm. the ability to really change or the desire to really change. And yeah. that is hurtful because yeah. It's, yeah. it's also just like,
I mean, okay. it sounds like he might,
it's like even very like a marriage desire. Story. What's that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he might even have the desire because he tried a little bit, but maybe he doesn't have the tools to.
Right. Which is like, it. Okay. So, then what would the next stage be like? Oh, just that, like, you don't do this. It's like having to mold someone's behavior and them having to be willing to do it and like hash it yeah. out. It's like, why do guys think that women enjoy doing that? Like,
yeah,
right.
That's right. It's not fun for me. It sucks. Yeah. But why can't you be a person? Like, I can't make you be a person. Because you ran yeah. out of steam, because I'm assuming at the beginning of the marriage, you know, as things like settle further and you get more and more comfortable and you run out of the ability to be like, let's go do stuff. And you don't have that mm-hmm. lifestyle anymore, but then you can't just do that. How do you break out of that? And why does the partner have to be the catalyst to do that? Like, it just sounds like a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Too much yeah. work. But yeah, and it is, it's hard. It's hard, and I think I think you need to like really think about yourself and your kid, and like it's not getting yourself out of this situation is going to be like a huge inconvenience and a lot of fucking work and mm-hmm. really shitty, and it's going to mean. I mean, obviously you have love for him, you married mm-hmm. him, you have a kid with him. It sounds like he did try a little bit, and you're trying to. But I think. If that hasn't happened now, it can't be you. It will never yeah. be you. He would have to decide that on himself. Otherwise, you'll spend your whole fucking life yeah. bitter about this situation.
And then yeah, the sex stuff is like a whole other thing too, which I think probably mm-hmm. everybody, most people deal with. That in itself is hard. How do you get, mm-hmm. how do you go like, all right, you can't just grab me like that, especially when we don't have any other valid communication or like emotional
yeah.
connection.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have
yeah,
to like,
she said, like, how can I be attracted to someone who's just groping me? It's like, yeah, you can't. That's not
yeah.
something. It's just a person to be attracted to.
And if he yeah, doesn't want to see that, like, then what? Yeah. You have to do all the work to try to get him to see that. That's a rough
yeah.
road.
Like, it sounds like if he just took his fucking headphones off and asked how your day was, why
that would go a long way.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah. You don't need to deal with someone who can't even be at that level of maturity.
That's the problem. It seems like the basics aren't even there. So
yeah, like if I felt connected to you, the grope would be fun. If I felt yeah. like yeah. you were there, yes. you were in the room with me.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes even that, yeah. right? It's like before yeah. connection, are you even present with me here?
Yeah.
Yeah. On a basic person level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's extremely immature.
Like even with a friend, you'd be like, are you in the yeah. room with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let yeah. alone the person I'm supposed to be. Isn't that weird how like the people we're supposed to be closest to end up like – how do things get to that point?
I know. It is so, yeah, it's really yeah. bizarre.
I think it's easy to start taking people for granted,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately. If you don't cultivate, like, gratitude that keeps your relationship new, it's really easy to just start seeing someone as, like.
And they already did the work of, like, separating. As you said that, I was picturing, like, it's almost like they need to separate again and be like, you need to take me on dates.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You have to like woo me back.
Yeah. Like, how are you doing? What do you like?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't yeah. like sitting with headphones on playing video yeah. games? Because that's what I like. Oh, you do? Because I probably don't want a partner that does that 12 hours yeah. a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to know me again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened. There's now a disconnect. And that's why, like, yeah. I don't know. The not doing the stuff around the house too. It just feels you're being taken for granted.
Yes.
Your labor and your mm-hmm. love and your emotional labor, all that shit is being mm-hmm. completely devalued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why should you be the one doing all the shit? That is disrespectful to you. Because I'm sure you have a million and a half other fucking things you're doing in your life. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy's got headphones on his head. You're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want to be his mommy too. Like, that's not the relationship that you entered into. Like, you weren't, your vows were not like, and I will be your mommy. And yeah, I will
clean up the crumbs from the couch after you.
Yeah.
Sit there all
yes.
day.
And no, you can silently grope my tit once a day. Like, but no, that's not.
in heteronormative culture, unfortunately, the narrative that is fucking sold is that women are innately a little bit better at domestic shit. Mm-hmm. And it is such a pervasive narrative that I think sometimes straight men don't even see it. It's like air to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so fucking presumed that someone else is going to do the dishes and clean the house mm-hmm. and do the laundry and make the appointments.
A side note, I stumbled upon, and this isn't going to be shocking, I forget about the internet and YouTube and stuff, but like, okay, I was watching those ladies, the home edit that they do organizing, and then mm-hmm. The Katie French Design started it all because I was watching Architectural Digest and like coming to my home, and then I started watching mm-hmm. organizational stuff, and it kept feeding stuff. There's a whole, it's white women. One of them was like, she's like, I'm going to clean my house, and it's 2 hours of her cleaning her house. And she says she likes to do it because she likes to watch other people, videos of other people cleaning their house. She's like, so we can do it together and listen to some good music and I can like be with you while you keep you company and inspire you to clean your house.
Oh,
and like
man.
Just showing shots of her laundry. And there's a lot of laundry. And then like 20 minutes later, it's like laundry update. Here's how I'm doing with the laundry.
I mean, look, I watch TikToks of people cleaning and organizing. It's usually always women. Yes. And I find it soothing in some way. But yeah, it is like the default, of course, the default.
Sorry. It's
a subculture of like, of social media. That's very weird.
Damn, I didn't know that was a thing. Holy shit. Man. Well, and it also sucks too, because it's like, We want to be able to, you know, also encourage the idea of a quote unquote house husband that is also doing all of this stuff. It's like this, like, please, you know, these aren't like feminine fucking tasks. Like guys can.
By the way, I stumbled upon another one where the guy is a house mm-hmm. husband and he's like, here's how you support. And it's honestly, it's really sweet. It's really, really mm-hmm. sweet. Cause he's like, and then when my wife's girls come over, I make them dinner and I blah, blah, blah. And that's how you can break the patriarchy and be a good guy. It's like very
cute.
Sweet. And I want to say they're both like in their late 20s. And she's like the one that goes to the job. And he's like, here's how you do a bunch of shit around the house. So I guess mm-hmm. internet again, we'll balance it out with the
maybe what we need to do. She needs to hack into whatever he's watching and then start give his algorithm these YouTube these videos with
these
the house
TikToks.
Husband shit.
Yeah.
But no, in reality, I mean, I think, you know, personally, it made me very angry, and it sounds like you know, some reckoning is to be had, and you've given him a chance already, obviously, so.
And like you already separated, so you're gonna be fine, and you know that. You know you already got mm-hmm. You already got some space, and you obviously figured that out and handled it. So like, if you need to get yourself out of that situation, you know you can and you will, mm-hmm. and everything's gonna be fine.
Did she indicate that she was there and he left and came back? She stayed in the same.
It's kind of what it sounds like. Oh,
yeah. Well, then that's very easy. Bye bye.
If she wants to try to make this work, which the way that she phrased it sounds like that's like she's not quite at the like see you later motherfucker place. I mean, I think it's like whoever you talk to do this work, obviously couples therapy, a like scheduled weekly check-in or something with like, this shit is working, this is not. Like he needs to be held accountable for things that he is or is not doing. I mean, a lot of this stuff is setting you up to keep mommying him and like forcing him to be these things. I don't know how well that will work in the long run, but like if you want to try, you know.
Next time,
it's almost like make a list of all the things that he has to be accountable.
Yes.
Hand it to him and go figure this out with your therapist, because I don't want to have to be the person that's like on you for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if any path forward, it's at least like,
yeah,
you have to agree to go to therapy or together, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you don't agree to that, like,
yeah,
you're obviously showing me you don't want to work on this.
And next time he gropes you, just like, be like, smack no, him. Take me to dinner. And if he laughs, be like, I'm serious. Make reservations and take me to dinner. Seriously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this is not. This is not an acceptable way to behave. And like, I hope that he doesn't think, well, I did all this stuff once and that's just, that fixed it. And it's like, no, homie, it's a lifetime of every day. Like that's just what it is. And he, you know, he needs to know that he can actually lose you. I mean, and I guess he didn't get scared enough the first time.
Well, you know, said.
He did
it once. He's like, okay, back to
class. Well, I fucking did it.
He can't even like video time. Yeah,
he can't even like be playing the TV out loud, you know, so you can talk to him about the things that he
is
watching.
That is really weird to me.
You know,
well, it might be like, what if it's like SportsCenter or something? I mean,
it might be awful for sure, but it feels it's like even more closed off than it already is. Is like what it's like he's in his own world and he just like has a boob that he grabs on the outside of that world.
Yeah,
like that is. No, that's not. You deserve better than that. You deserve quite a bit better than that.
Yeah,
that's not cool.
I'm sorry, honey. Best of luck to you. We're behind you. So
yeah,
yeah.
You got this.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Okay. Should we do another quickie or?
Yeah. Or.
Sure.
Okay.
One more. Yeah.
Hi, lady to lady. I'm calling with a lady problem. I have an old car that I went to the shop to take it to, and I finally found a mechanic that seems, you know, reasonably priced and honest about what he's doing and that kind of thing. The only problem is he's really chatty, so he always likes to get into these long conversations when I go to pick up my car. And best of all, he's super conservative. So these conversations are always about how the COVID vaccine is a hoax and how, you know, the country under Biden is just going to shit. Anyway, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just standing there like, I like the work that you do on my car, but I really don't like your beliefs. And I don't know what to do. Finding a mechanic is really difficult. And this guy does good work, but I just don't know if I should be financially supporting him and his decisions. Anyway, please help me. Thank you. Bye.
I just love financially supporting him and his decisions.
I love that. I mean, I think if you can't find another mechanic, walk in on the phone or you're pretending to have a phone call every time to be like, hey, yeah, sorry, I just have to go. And There's ways to like get out of that and not have to talk to him. Just make it seem like you're, you know, in something.
I wouldn't personally beat yourself up about financially supporting this guy. I feel like a good mechanic is hard to find. And like,
it is hard.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't known much about the point of views of any of my mechanics, nor do I want to or need to.
Yeah.
like if he's good.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I think you're taking on too much with that.
Yeah, and you're you can consider those relationships with, but a mechanic is like, all right, like, what are we gonna do? But yeah, I would just fake phone calls. You know, it's hard because he's obviously holding her hostage because he has the keys and stuff. She has to check out when she comes to pick up her car, so it's like,
yeah,
she has to do an exchange, and that's where the time's coming in that he's like sucking up. So
yeah, but like, hey, I always like I know how much we like to chat, but like I have a meeting in 10 minutes, I have to get to or something. Like put a timestamp on the end immediately when you see him. Draw the boundary.
I've had mechanics that'll just leave my keys on the tire well if I want to get it after hours. Maybe you could do that.
After hour. Oh
yeah, be like, I have to.
That's great.
After hours. That's
really good. Hey, I can't make by 5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can be like, oh my god, I've got to get to this pro-life protest.
Yeah, I just really love being an asshole. So
I'm going to the LGBTQ gala tonight. if you could.
Yeah.
BLM me later.
Yeah.
I'm going to have an abortion in the back seat if we could get that fixed.
Yeah. Exactly. I wonder if you put a bunch of bumper stickers all over your car, if he would like not try to talk to you anymore.
No, it's going
to
be worse. We all know it will be worse.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I know. That's true.
He's giving his unsolicited fucking opinions already. So, of course. I think the after hours thing is a great call. Try to just make it as fast as humanly possible. Maybe if there's any other time where somebody can, like, I was going to say have somebody else like do it, but that's too hard if it's your car.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. God, it's so hard because I assume he's like an older guy that is like Fox News pilled or whatever. And like, it's so hard because like I've had times of like this with like my like dad's friends. I'll go home and then these are people that I've known my whole life. And then they'll just like weird talking points just come out of them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, do you not have a question about like my life? Like me as a person? It's just they go into this weird like.
Whoever was on Tucker Carlson last night, they want to launch into.
Yeah.
I almost like, find it easy to deflect that though, because they don't ask anything about you. It's just like,
I'll just be like, oh, so any questions about me? Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean there's a devil advocate point of view, which is just enjoy it. He's your mechanic and go in and be like, wow, like that's a piece of work.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm more cynical because she was coming from a place of like, I don't even want to support this, you know?
Yeah.
Which is smart, but.
Smart and noble, but I think probably impractical because in my opinion, there's assholes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that I have found that really kind of short circuits a lot of those people too is to be like, oh yeah, no, I think everybody is bad. I think that Republicans are really bad. I think the Democrats are really bad. I think corporations are there. Like,
because
in their brain, it's such like a versus
that's
situation.
Really smart.
And then
you
they're
take
just
it
like
out of the us and them.
Yeah. And then they don't know what to, I mean, if you want to actually talk to them about it, they like don't know what to do with that. Cause you're just like, I bet you we actually agree on quite a bit. But like, this is, you know, I think everything is bad and I think it should all be burned to the ground and we should start all over again, but not the way that you do. Then you skank out with your keys. But and then they're just like, don't know what to do with that information, right. Usually.
You could also hire a sky rider to distract him while you get your car.
Yeah.
Practical.
That would work. Yeah. Yeah. I think hire a local improv troupe to like do like a fake accident outside so he has to go deal with that.
A flash mob.
Yeah. Just like have a woman with like an old timey baby carriage just like walking past and she lets it go and just my baby and then he has to run after it and then you snatch your keys and get out.
What movie is that from?
It's Kevin Costner, The Untouchables, I think, right?
Oh,
it's
got a specific deep cut.
There's a specific name for it, the baby carriage going down the steps. It's like a whole thing.
I think that watch some old hidden camera shows and just kind of like you know, plot
pranks
something along those
lines. And hijinks.
Marilyn, have you made out with Kevin Costner? Just had to check.
It's a reasonable
I like that
question.
You would think that of me though. That's fun. I was the lady in Dances with Wolves. I had a fur pelt.
Marilyn, where can this has been so much fun.
Yeah.
Tell everyone where they can find your book and find your shows and see what you're up to online.
MarilynMarilyn.com if you want an autographed copy or just get it anywhere you buy books. And my dates are on there too. I'll be touring around. Look at my new manicure. Ooh.
Pretty color.
The red and the pink and the purple. Come on, guys.
This is a real good color.
You don't even have to read it. You can just get a manicure and hold the book and enjoy enjoy the colors. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to see you all.
I know. It's great to
meet
you.
I know. You too. You too. All right, guys. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. I'm calling as a longtime listener. I love y'all and really appreciate y'all. I actually recently moved to LA and I was thinking about how, as a person who is a super anxious nail biter, skin picker, like inconsistent person who loves massages, I did find an incredible facialist who deserves a shout out. Her name is Layola, on Instagram at Pansy Aesthetics, Pansy, P-A-N-S-A-Y. Oh shit, I just got that wrong. Anyway, you'll find her. She is a black, queer, really fat positive, facialist, and I literally love going to her. It's a safe space. It's a beautiful space. It's a beautiful way, to take care of yourself and support folks in the community. Love what you'll do. Thanks.
Hi, I just listened to, Hong Kong where you talked about Barbie dolls having sex, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for normalizing Barbie sex, because I didn't realize it until I listened to this podcast that I carried around so much shame about my Barbies getting it on. So yeah, thank you for helping me release that shame that I didn't even know I had, and normalizing Barbie doll sex. Keep doing your good work. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.